You couldn't imagine a greater transformation from the sorrow of Good Friday to the joy of Easter Sunday. You know, what happened on Good Friday was probably beyond the worst fears of any of the apostles. And yet what happened on Easter Sunday was beyond anything that they could have imagined or hoped for. And so we celebrate today the joy that the apostles and the Blessed Virgin Mary and the entire world experienced with the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. And so as we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the effects, I mean, certainly we celebrate Jesus Christ being alive and conquering death. But there's a lot of effects as a result of the resurrection. And one of those effects is that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has poured forth an entirely new form of life into the world. A form of life that's different than our natural life. And Jesus said in John chapter 11, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And so the resurrection isn't just an event that applies to Jesus Christ. You know, he's obtained a form of life that he offers to each and every one of us. And it's an incredible gift that Jesus Christ has obtained for us. You know, God has intervened in the world in a very powerful way to offer us a new form of life that's more powerful than death. And so I want to spend a few minutes today just reflecting upon the life of the resurrection. What is this life? You know, how is it different than our normal life? And what are some of its effects? Now, the technical term we use for this life is sanctifying grace, the life of grace, which means that God shares his own divine life with us and allows his divine life to permeate through us. And so if we cooperate with that grace, you know, it can change us in real ways. One of the ways in which it can change us is it can change our intellect. It can change the way that we see things and enable us to see things in a fundamentally different way, to be able to see reality the way that God sees reality. And so, you know, someone who is living in a life of grace and is responding to the grace would be able to see the hand of God in the creation of every plant, you know, every animal, every person around us. That this is not some accident. This is what God has willed, and this is God's creation. And so they'll see the hand of God in those things. You know, someone who's living a life of grace will be able to see the importance of obedience to the moral commandments, you know, being honest, being just towards others, you know, being virtuous. They'll be able to see the goodness of that and to see anything that opposes that as being evil and something to be avoided. Someone who's living a life of grace will be able to see God's plan for marriage and for the family. Or for a young person living a life of grace, they would recognize the importance of not just seeking their own pleasures in life, but of seeking to do God's will and what his purpose is. You know, married couples can see that their marriage isn't just a decision that they made and something that they decided to do, but this is part of God's plan and his will for them and part of his plan of creation. And so responding to the life of grace actually changes the way in a fundamental way that we view ourselves, that we view reality around us. And it also can change our will. It changes the decisions that we make, and it changes what and how we love. You know, we begin to love others the way that God loves them. Not selfishly in a disordered way because of what we can get from someone or, you know, maybe, you know, to love someone because they're funny and it makes us laugh, but to transform that into a more selfless and a more pure way of loving other people. To recognize that these people around us are sons and daughters of God and that He has brought them into existence and they have dignity and goodness because they're creations of God, and that we need to respond to that properly by treating others with dignity, with respect. And so the life of grace actually changes the way that we behave because it changes what and how we love. You know, someone who's living a life of grace can recognize that the greatest act that we can do is to worship and adore God. And so as we deepen the life of grace, we begin to love and to cherish the worship of God. It becomes what we love the most, because our hearts change because of the grace that's at work within us. You can't tell if someone's living a life of grace just by looking at them. You know, you can't tell if someone has the life of the resurrection in them or not. But the life of grace is very real. As surely as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we can see the empty tomb, and we have the cloth that covered His body, as surely as the resurrection happened, we know that He's brought a new form of life into this world. You know, last night at the Easter Vigil, we had 3 baptisms and 8 people received into the church and received the sacrament of confirmation. You know, those 3 people who were baptized received the life of grace for the first time. They received eternal life into their souls, and they became children of God. And the 8 who were confirmed received an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, they've received God's life within them, which is something that's so powerful and so real that even death cannot destroy it. It's a gift that's stronger than death. And so for us who have already received the grace, the life of grace through the sacraments, first we should be grateful for that. To recognize that the very life of the resurrection, when Jesus Christ came out of the tomb, back from the dead, and life was permeating through Him, that's the same life that we have received in the sacraments, and that's present every time we receive the Holy Eucharist. So first, we should be grateful. And second, we should guard that gift with great care. You know, we should always strive to live in a life of in a state of grace. And if we fall from grace, to go to confession quickly. And we should respond to that grace fervently. Because it's not automatic that we're transformed, that our minds and our wills are transformed. We really have to cooperate with grace and overcome our disordered desires that might lead us in the wrong direction. And so we have to respond with conviction and really put our hearts and our effort into our devotion to the sacraments and into a life of prayer. It's not an automatic transformation. We have to cooperate with God's grace. But when we do cooperate, we can be transformed in a way that our virtue can become heroic and supernatural, because it's not just us that's acting, but it's the power of God that's at work through us. The life of grace is very real, and each and every one of us have access to it if we simply respond and cooperate to the grace our Lord offers us. And so, you know, the apostles, they experienced joy that they could never imagine on Easter Sunday. But for those who are living a life of grace, at the end of our lives, if we persevere, when we step into eternity, we will experience a joy that far exceeds anything we can imagine or comprehend.